Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A great bar sports open line does continue here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Into the second hour of the program. We do it on Wednesday nights. It is a strike zone hour. Nothing but baseball here between now and 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, by the way, is when Brad Young is going to be in the house with At Your Service. He'll be hosting tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. If you've got any thoughts on the Cardinals, again, we always, on day games, weekday day games, we don't always get the opportunity to take phone calls and text messages on the extra inning show, so we always try to hold that for Sports Open Line. If you've got any thoughts on what went down today for the Cardinals, they end up losing to the Phillies by one run, 4-3, and with that they lose 2 of 3 in the series. If you have any thoughts, you can do share them with us on the phone, on text, on tweet. If you want to, on tweet, on Twitter. That didn't sound normal. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Kind of the storylines of the day, Lance Lynn was pretty good. 5 innings, 2 unearned runs, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, 4 walks. Zach Thompson working out of the bullpen, and the Cardinals really needed some innings from him. The bullpen was pretty tired coming into this one. A lot of guys were not available. Thompson went 3 1/3 scoreless innings, 4 hits, 6 strikeouts, no walks. I thought that was a really, really good performance from him, and it was good to see that he was able to do that. And I don't want to make too much of one single appearance. Like, we got a text message from the 217 that said, Zach Thompson may have found his spot coming out of the bullpen for long relief. Maybe, maybe. And that's I think there's value in having one of those guys in the bullpen who can cover multiple innings, especially with a rotation the way the Cardinals have built this rotation, where they want innings from their starters, but they want innings from their starters in the sense that the starters are going to pitch every fifth day. And if they can get you deep into the game, that's fantastic. But none of these guys that the Cardinals have in the rotation are especially known for being guys who go super deep into games. Even Sonny Gray. This isn't somebody that came in and he said, you know what? He's going to give you 8-9 innings or anything like that. That's not who he is. So you're going to get more innings out of your starters just because they're reliable. They're guys who are going to go make their start every fifth day. But I think it is important to have a guy on the staff in the bullpen who can be that long reliever. And at one point it felt like maybe Matthew Liberatore was going to be that guy, but I think the way we're seeing them use Liberatore right now, he's borderline high leverage. He's pitching on back-to-back days. He's not really doing that. And that might actually suit him better, because when he's really able to unleash his pitches, we're seeing an extra 2 or 3 miles per hour on the velo, and that's a big deal for him. That allows him to be more effective as a relief pitcher than he has been on starters, or as a starter, I should say. Let's grab Mike, who has given us a call. Hey, Mike, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, I'd like to say that I was really impressed with Lance Lynn today, and I was impressed with Zach Thompson. He did a good job. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't know if he's going to be the long man relief, which I think people need still. But it's going to be, I hope he's doing well, and I hope the Cardinals could do a little better.
Yeah, Mike. You know, appreciate the phone call. I do think that something the Cardinals have really locked in on, and I heard Oliver Marmol talk about it I don't know if it was today or yesterday. It all kind of runs together over the baseball season. But just discussing, I think it was today in his conversation with Mike Claiborne in our pregame show, about how it's important for this bullpen to have guys who have defined roles. And if Zach Thompson is not going to be a starter, well, then you have him as a long relief guy. And if he can go do what he did today over and over, or some version of it, that's fantastic. And it also, if you can get, you're not always going to need three innings out of him, but if you do go and get good length from him more often than not, if you run into a situation where you need him to go back into the rotation, it's going to take a little less time to get him stretched back out. So I like what we saw. I would just remind folks, it's one appearance. It's one, you know, one relief appearance. Now, historically, he has looked better working out of the bullpen than working as a starter, and that's not just a one-appearance sort of thing. But to see what he did today and just assume that he's going to be able to do that every time out, let's let this thing play out a little bit more. KC has given us a call. Hey, KC, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Doing good.
Good. The center fielder, he had a rough day today. He's going to have days like that, and I just hope that he don't get down on himself. But one thing I notice about professional athletes, and I know when they're growing up, they taught to catch the ball with two hands, but sometimes they neglect that, and they try to go with one hand, and they don't go back on the ball. They're good, look like they're floating or everything. So, and I know it's still a learning process, but I just hope that he don't get too much down on himself. But why don't they give Ciani a couple of games and see how he fits in there? Because, I mean, they probably won't be losing too much offensively because both of them are not really that great of a hitters. I just like to see what he can do in a situation.
Yeah, it's a good question, Casey. I appreciate the phone call. I would say that it's not so much about Ciani, it's more about Scott, that this guy's one of the top prospects in the organization. And you hear it all the time with young guys. Well, if he's going to be on the roster, he's got to play. So I think the reason Scott's playing just about every day is just because they don't want him showing up to the ballpark and sitting on the bench. That doesn't help him. Now, the other side of that is, as he struggles as much as he is struggling, does showing up every day and continuing to have those type of moments, does that help him? Is it reversing any of the development stuff? Does he need the reset button pushed a little bit? You know, last year with Jordan Walker, before they even sent him down to AAA, they made the decision to basically pull him out of the lineup, and they were working with some stuff on him, but he was still on the big league roster, not playing, not starting, before they eventually did go ahead and send him down. So with a young guy, you can do that. Look, and I love what Victor Scott gives this team defensively, a day like today notwithstanding. I love what he does on the bases, again, a day like today notwithstanding. This was just a bad day for a really young, really talented, exciting player. I like all these things that he's doing other than things from a hitting standpoint, but I would continue to question at what point is it just not making sense to have him here. Now, you gotta have somebody beyond Michael Ciani who can play center field. So have the Cardinals had internal conversations about Lars Nootbaar being that guy? Everything we've seen and everything we've been told has been that essentially they're not really viewing Nootbaar as a center fielder, but sometimes things change. Sometimes you're in a spot where if the organization is legitimately worried that Scott being here is stunting his development, and the only answer is to let Lars Nootbaar play a little bit of center field, then you let him do it. And to Casey's point, from an offensive standpoint, you're not losing much. If anything, you might be gaining just a little going from Scott to Ciani just based off how much Scott has struggled. You don't get the elite base running. Ciani's a really, really good defensive center fielder. He's not going to make some of the plays that Scott makes, but it's really not much of a drop-off in center field. At some point, is giving Ciani a little bit more of an opportunity, something that makes sense. I think if you get to that point, it happens when one of two things is going on with Scott. Either you've made the decision that you're going to go ahead and send him down, or it's one of those periods like they had with Jordan Walker last year where they kind of, they don't send him down, but they sit him down, if that makes sense. They're not just going to go to Siani when they haven't made one of those two decisions when it comes to Victor Scott. We'll talk more about the Lars Nootbaar situation with Will Leach, writes for MLB.com, big Cardinals guy, Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Miklas, does all that stuff. We'll talk with him coming up in just a moment as we continue on. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. It's the Strike Zone. By the way, Blues are up 3-0 on the Blackhawks. We're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We're about to welcome onto the program one of our favorite people to be able to talk Cardinals baseball, but a lot of other stuff with as well. He is Will Leach. You read him at MLB.com, a whole bunch of other places, including New York Magazine. He joins us right now. Will, always appreciate you taking some time with us. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Always an honor to be on, sir.
All right, so before we get to Cardinals stuff, I saw a recent tweet where you mentioned writing about the Knicks. How much do you love the Knicks? And they've been playing some pretty good basketball here lately.
They have. You know, I moved. I'm obviously originally from Mattoon, Illinois. I grew up a Cardinals fan and remain a Cardinals fan. But I moved to New York in January of 2000. If you remember, as a Cardinals follower, that was actually at the end of a stretch of not very good baseball for the Cardinals. Meanwhile, the Knicks had been amazing leading up to that point. So I got to New York. I did not grow up with an NBA team. And I thought, you know what? The Cardinals are struggling right now, so I'm at least going to pick an NBA team that wins. And that was the Knicks, who were basically terrible for 20 years. So I'm pretty excited. They're a pretty exciting team. Really, Jalen Brunson is the sort of guy that you really don't see a lot in the NBA anymore. You know, usually he's undersized. He's not naturally skilled in some of the ways like a Steph Curry or a Victor Wembanyama is. But to me, that's one of the things that's really kind of incredible about him. He's really kind of taken – he's the kind of scrappy point guard we love in NCAA tournament, except he's scoring 45 points in the NBA. So it's made him a very likable team to cheer for. And I think it's setting up pretty well for them other than the fact that it still feels like Boston's just going to destroy everyone once they get in the playoffs. But the Knicks are just happy that they're not a joke, I would put it that way.
Yeah, hasn't he scored 40-plus points like 10 or 11 times this year?
It's incredible, too, because he doesn't do it in, like, these bursts the way that you see from Curry or the way you see from, like, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander or some of these, like, pure scorers. He really gets a lot of his buckets by, like, he's, like, 6'2", 6'3", and he throws himself under the basket under these big, huge guys and finds all these wild ways to get the ball up. And the Knicks have been racked with injuries all year. They've lost Julius Randle. AJ Anunoby's been out for a long time. He's just now back. And they just kind of keep putting him on his back. And it's funny because my father is a huge – I have a lot of friends like this that are more into college basketball than the NBA, which I understand. Well, if you remember those old Villanova teams, with all of those players now play for the Knicks. So if you like those old Villanova national championship teams, root for the Knicks because there's Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart. They're all over there. So they're a fun team to cheer for as well.
All right, let's jump into the Cardinals a little bit. They're sitting with a 6-7 record. They lose today by a run. Certainly a game they could have won. There were some mistakes that were made. They end up losing the series. I struggle asking questions on April 10th about a baseball team because I feel like it's just really hard to know much of what's going on actually is real and how much of it is just kind of going to change on its own as the season goes along. How do you evaluate here these first 2 weeks of Cardinals baseball?
Obviously, there are some things to be concerned about. I think clearly, finally, Nolan Arenado hit the ball hard today, but he clearly has been struggling quite a bit. Goldschmidt struggled. Jordan Walker, I think maybe be one of the particular people worrying on offense. But, you know, at a certain level, and maybe this is foolish, I do kind of think the offense is going to come around. So that's been the down part. The good part, I think, is actually illustrated by actually the loss today, which is the one thing the Cardinals really have just not – the Cardinals, obviously, their pitching was a struggle last year, and they had all these defensive problems. But the major issue with really the last few years is – they've not looked sharp. They've not looked sharp defensively. They've not been. They just have not felt like a team that is that is giving itself the best chance to win. One of the things I think is telling about today's game, it really feels like the first game that they lost because of mistakes that they made, which to me is a good sign because they lost a lot of games that way last year. And I think they're winning games. I think of that 3-1 win against the Marlins last Saturday, which was a game that really the Cardinals did not hit well or didn't play that well, but they found ways to manufacture runs and got good bullpen. I've been very encouraged by the bullpen so far. I think only really Pallante has struggled, and he was there last year. Part of the problem last year, I think a lot of the new arms are looking good. I think you're getting it's early enough that you're not getting necessarily the length out of those starters that you would like, but I think as the year goes along, I think you'll see that come into effect a little bit more. I would say, obviously, 6-7 is not what the ideal way to start, but we've been hearing for weeks and weeks and weeks about how difficult this start is, and I do think I agree. I think if you can get through this mess at around 500 when the schedule starts to ease up a little bit, you're in a good position. And I would say watching them, even with the losing record, even with some of the frustrations, the fact that they are generally not losing games the way they did today, they're doing those little things right. They're fielding well, they're running the bases well, and their bullpen has been good. That's generally a good way to win. And yes, if Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt are hitting like this all year, yes, there's going to be a problem. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think Jordan Walker is going to be hitting like this all year either. And I think you've seen enough from the young players. Ivan Herrera, I feel like, has been a revelation at this point. Like, there's a lot of guys you look at and be like, I feel like moving forward, these are guys you can trust. And I think that's an encouraging place to be.
Puts them in an interesting spot with Herrera because he and Contreras will be in the lineup a lot together. Right now, Pedro Páez is on the roster. If Herrera keeps hitting the way he's hitting, you almost have to carry a third catcher because you're going to keep those guys, Contreras and Herrera, in the lineup almost every day.
Yeah, these are nice problems to have at a certain level. But to me, actually, the larger issue with that is, what happens when Nubar comes back? What happens, someone like Nubar, you have to find a spot for him now. I'm assuming Nubar, when he comes back, and he'll be back, I think, sooner rather than later. He's been playing in Memphis. That it's not so much that obviously he's not a catcher, but like if you move him to the outfield, okay, where does Brendan Donovan go? Put Gorman at DH and put Donovan there, or put either one of them in that spot. Okay, well, now who's the DH? Like, how do you get Herrera and Contreras both in the lineup? It's a good problem to have, but I think it's interesting because, one of the problems that we've really seen with the Cardinals the last few years, they're always too far one way or too far the other. Like, either they've got too many switches. We saw this last year, right? The idea of they had so much versatility that nobody had any clear role. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, set lineup. But in the past, we've seen no depth on the roster. I think you're seeing that potentially handled better so far this year. I think the idea that you're getting guys at bats, like look at a guy like Burleson. He started off really, really slow. And in the past, I think last year when we heard about, where it's all about competition, you got to fight for every at bat and so on, I think there would have been a lot of extra pressure on someone like him with the slow start that he got. Now they kind of let him hit his way out of it, and he's now hitting the ball as well as anyone and being the hitter the Cardinals have been claiming for a long time that he is. And I think that's the balance that you have to get, is the idea of getting enough at-bats for everyone while not sticking with someone who's really, really struggling. I think these are good things. Like, these are questions, and they're things that you have to figure out. But they strike me as good problems in a way that we've seen these be bad problems for the Cardinals before, as recently as last year, all year. Now, I think not everything's gotten figured out. And again, when Nubar comes back or when Edmund comes back, I feel like there's going to be an issue potentially with someone like Brandon Crawford, who I think was brought in to help out Mason Winn. Mason Winn does not look like he needs the help right now.
Yeah.
So I think that there's going to be a roster push, I think, at some point there. But these are good problems to have. If you're looking to be like, wow, what are we going to do with having Ivan Herrera and Wilson Contreras both hitting so well in the lineup? You play them and you score runs. And I think that's the plan moving forward. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
We're talking with Will Leach. The Cardinals at this point have shown really no willingness this year to put Lars Nootbaar in center field. I have to wonder if internally they're having that conversation, because that solves a lot of problems. I love what Scott has done defensively outside of what he did today. I love his base running, but he looks so overmatched at the plate. You do wonder if his development is being stalled by being up here, if it would just be good to get him down to Memphis. If they have a little bit more stomach for Nootbaar in center field, that cleans up some of the issues that you just went through, because it looks like Nootbaar is probably going to be active on Friday.
Yes, but of course, I think Nootbaar is an adequate center fielder. But the Cardinals have had adequate center fielders, and they've had defensive problems. I think that's really kind of the issue. I think it's another reason that Dylan Carlson's injury was so frustrating, because I think he was really starting to come around. I think you can trust him in center field maybe a little bit more than Nootbaar, but this is the trade-off, right? This is the trade-off that you have to kind of figure out. This is a common problem with baseball. The idea, like, the issue with Victor Scott not hitting, he does look overmatched. I think there's an argument. There's arguments to be made either way, whether you're hurting his development or not. But the overarching thing is, one of the reasons that Victor Scott struggled to the plate are really standing out is because some of the people that you expected to produce to the plate aren't. And I think that's kind of the major issues there. Now, if he has more days like today, then yes. Like, today was a very, very ugly day for Victor Scott. And I think everybody knows that, including him. And so, but that's something that we've not seen out of him. And certainly at the plate, he has looked like he's got a lot of work to do. He doesn't look like that in the field. And there is, he had the idea of, listen, putting out him out there every day right now is a matter of necessity. I still think if you're going to put Nootbaar out there, I don't know. I mean, like, this is the big debate, because on one hand, you're studying the development. And on the other hand, you don't know when Edmund's coming back. You don't know when Carlson's coming back. It's one thing to say, hey, we'll try to ride with Nootbaar. It's another thing to say, no, Nootbaar is the only center fielder they have, which is really kind of what you're going to be looking at if you send down Scott to kind of work in that development. Now, that is unfortunate. They did not know. You can argue about, I think they maybe could have done something a little better with Edmund. The way that injury was handled was maybe not ideal. They couldn't have done anything about Carlson. Like, that was a freak occurrence on the last day before the season started. But they're short on guys now, and maybe that's Ciani. Maybe you trust Ciani to be able to do that. I understand the idea of putting Nootbaar out there, but I think we've seen him be adequate at best, and I think that's a problem when you've got right field Jordan Walker, who's getting better, but I don't think it's necessarily in a situation where you feel like he's a standout. I think Brendan Donovan is okay in left field, but not someone you can count on. You see that with Burleson as well. I think one of the reasons this team has been okay so far when they have not been hitting is because the defense has been so good. When you kind of moved and you switched that out in that situation, I think that you hope you get enough offense to win, but it opens up problems not just for the defense, but obviously for the pitching as well. So it's a conundrum. It's a tough thing to figure out, but to me, it's not really about Scott. It's not really about Nootbaar. It really is about Edmund and Carlson. Those are guys who are supposed to be able to handle that, and now you're really just kind of scrambling.
And they may both be a month out. Edmund's hitting off a tee, and Carlson isn't cleared for any baseball activity. So this is more of a long-term than short-term problem with those guys being out.
Yeah, and I think so. And listen, I suspect if Scott continues to not – to really, as you put, he looks overmatched. It's not even so much that he is – like, I don't think his batting eye is necessarily terrible. I don't think his approach is bad. It's just they're knocking the bat out of his hands. They're throwing the ball by him. And I think you can even deal with that. You saw the benefit last year with Mason Wynn, right? Like, I think one of the reasons that Mason Wynn is hitting so well now and you have so much confidence in him is you kind of let him struggle last year. That was the benefit of a lost season. There's not many of them, but that's one of them, is that Mason Wynn was able to work his way, and they kind of trusted him as a hitter and to be able to do that. And you could do that because the Cardinals were out of the race and it didn't matter. You can't do that with Victor Scott, and I think that's really the kind of the issue there. But again, it is a conundrum, and it's not something that they can figure out by Friday, because I think if you just say Nootbaar is the center fielder moving forward, I think while he's a good hitter and while you're going to be excited to have him back, I'm not sure you can trust him to be able to play center field all that time. B, he may get hurt again, because this has been an issue for Nootbaar in a lot of ways. Center field is a more demanding defensive position. You're also putting that on the table, too. So there's a lot of things that have really been troubled, particularly like Carlson's injury. I think got everybody, people like Carlson, they wanted him to do well. But it was exciting to see Victor Scott, right? We were all kind of clamoring for him to get a chance. And so, but I think you're really seeing the after effects of just how much that injury really has put them behind the eight ball in a lot of ways.
Last thing for you, you got a new column at MLB.com that's coming out to every week. It's your five fascinations. Super, super readable kind of nugget type type stuff where people can go in and you take a look at some of the biggest storylines from the last week. Great stuff. So I kind of described it, but I'm sure you can describe it much better than I just did.
Yeah, it's actually kind of inspired for people that are NBA fans. It's kind of inspired by Zach Lowe's great NBA column he writes for ESPN every Friday, the 10 Things I Think, where it's really just kind of a lot of observations. Some of them are big, like, is Juan Soto going to win the MVP? And some of them are smaller. I thought one of the things I'm writing about this week is, remember how upset Cubs fans were when they traded all of those players and how they didn't get to ever make another run. I thought I would actually kind of go back and track and see how everybody's doing, all those Cubs players. Basically, the one that's really producing right now is Wilson Contreras. So many of the rest of those guys are really, really, really struggling. I don't know if you've seen what Javi Baez is doing these days, but it's not a good position to any stretch of the imagination. So, and the lead of this column this week, I'm sorry to say this as to Cardinals fans, it's Tyler O'Neill. I think that Tyler O'Neill, what he's doing in Boston, and really the point of the piece is not, oh, look at the Cardinals screwed up again. I think it's the opposite of that. I've heard people in baseball say, oh, there the Cardinals go, messing up another outfielder. I think you have to be pretty far from the situation at hand of Tyler O'Neill and kind of the amount of rope he was given and patience they had, often to ill effect. I don't think anyone that's close to the situation could really blame the Cardinals for doing that. Doesn't mean it's not great that he's doing well. More power to him. We'll also see in June if that's still happening. We've seen from O'Neill, consistency's not always been the strength.
He is Will Leach. Read him at MLB.com. Follow him on Twitter or whatever you want to call it. And you can see everything that he's got going at the various different places that he writes for at William F. Leach on Twitter. Will, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
My pleasure. Holler anytime, guys.
That's Will Leach joining us here on the program. By the way, the numbers on Tyler O'Neill, if you have not been paying attention, he has played 11 games this year with the Red Sox, 353 average, 6 home runs, and OPS of close to 1,400. But the Cardinals wanted to, obviously, it just wasn't working, obviously, in St. Louis. And excited to see what's going to happen with Victor Scott moving forward, whether he's going to get an opportunity here pretty much all season long, or if at some point they're going to send him back down. Either way, he is a big part of the future of this team. Speaking of that, Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data communication needs. We'll take a break, have more in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line, the Strike Zone Hour. Back with more in a moment on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and data comm needs.
Back at it here on KMOX. Cardinals just wrapping up their first homestand of the year, and now they are going to hit back to the road. They played pretty much all of their West Coast stuff here in the first month and a half of the season until right at the end of the year. So they're getting it out of the way early as they're going to match up against Arizona and Oakland coming up in their next road trip. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. So, yeah, they are going to hit the road, and they'll match up against the defending National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks for a 3-game series Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm not a big believer in the Diamondbacks. I wasn't a big believer in them last year either, and they, I guess, proved me wrong. They got hot at the right time. That's what they did last year. You look at that NL West, and not there's some really like fun, interesting guys on that Diamondbacks team. I'm not trying to trash them or anything like that, but it's just when I look at the NL West, I have more belief in the Dodgers, I have more belief in the Padres, more belief in the Giants. But if the Diamondbacks do kind of some version of what they did last year, you never know what may end up happening. So that's who the Cardinals are going to play in a 3-game series. And then they are going to continue that road trip and head to one of the, you know, turns out the Marlins aren't very good. But when the season was getting started and we were assessing the schedule coming off a year last year where the Marlins surprised a lot and got to the playoffs, and we thought they might be pretty good. Yeah, that looked like another tough series. Well, they've got this series against Oakland coming up. Before we knew that the Marlins just probably weren't a very good team this year, this Oakland series really looked like the first not just really, really challenging opponent that the Cardinals are going to match up against here in the early going of the season. So they'll take on Oakland in the second set of this upcoming road trip. They are not going to return home again until Friday, April 19th, when they match up against the Brewers. I was a little surprised. A lot was made about the attendance over the last few days, and obviously the home opener was fantastic. It's always great. And I was talking with Tom Ackerman about this earlier today. You know, like our event, Kegs and Eggs, it has never sold out quicker than what it did this year. So there's obviously a lot of excitement for Cardinals baseball from a lot of folks. But if we're being honest about things, the ballpark was not overly filled over the last few days, including a day where Sonny Gray makes his team debut. And that was a little bit surprising. There's a certain contingent of Cardinals fans that are not super excited about Sonny Gray. I think people are going to start to come around. He certainly helps himself out when he's wearing a number 45 hat in honor of Bob Gibson when he's talking to the media after games and things like that. But a lot of reasons to be excited about what Sonny Gray is going to do for the Cardinals moving forward. A lot of reasons to be excited about what's going to be coming up on At Your Service tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. The number one thing to be excited about is Brad Young. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment as we continue with the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
The Strike Zone Hour does continue here across here on KMOX. I almost said across the Cardinals radio network. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. That's what happens when the Cardinals play a day game. It's the Strike Zone Hour. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm done in a few minutes, which means you are going to be graced by the presence of Brad Young. He is in the house. He's got At Your Service tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Hey, Brad.
Mr. Pauly, good to see you, sir.
Great to see you as well. I'm digging the shirt that you're wearing, by the way.
Thank you.
Good looking shirt.
Thank you.
Which is a great, you know, great radio conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You could send it out on social media. You don't have much social media, do you?
I just don't have time. Okay. I've got no social media presence. So.
You love answering emails.
If
folks want to see the shirt that Brad's currently wearing, send him an email and ask him to send you a picture.
I'll take a selfie.
There you go. That won't be creepy at all from the people who are texting you for that.
Not at all.
I didn't see. Were you at Kegs and Eggs this year?
I was.
Okay, I did not see you there.
Okay, well, you couldn't see me because the thing was sold out.
It was. That was great.
It was great. I was working the place and walking all around and seeing the sports legends that Matt Pajeski had to go and track down and, you know, handcuff. I saw one time where you were dragging some guy. I couldn't tell who it was, but
Jack Clark.
Was it Jack Clark?
Yeah. Okay. You dragged Jack Clark, which I just thought maybe if you would have been carrying nachos, he would have followed you. But, you know, just dragging him in for the interviews. No, it was a great event. I was glad I could be there.
It was. Yeah, it's really cool, and it's just fun to see how excited Cardinals fans get about the season. And we didn't really know what the excitement level was going to be coming off last year. And attendance wasn't great here since opening day, but I think this team is going to be fine, and I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited about it.
I'm very excited. I'm a season ticket holder, and I've already been to a game, and whenever my clients don't need the tickets, then I get to go. But I did want to ask you this Cardinals question because I heard a great story, and you being the sports guy, you're going to know more of the details, but apparently because Contreras is out and Herrera is catching, apparently the Cardinals had to pull up another backup catcher from
Pedro Páez came up.
Okay. Well, I heard some story about he got notified at the stadium, like in Indianapolis, that good news and bad news. Good news is you're going to the bigs. The bad news is you got to get an Uber and go to the stadium right now.
Yeah, from Indianapolis. So this was on Cardinals opening day on the home opener, so last Thursday. And when Wilson Contreras got to the ballpark that day, he still was not in a place where he could catch. And that was also the day that Matt Carpenter went on the injured list. So they had an open spot on the roster. Memphis was playing in Indianapolis. So they make the decision to call Páez up. He gets called into the clubhouse. He was at the ballpark, like in the weight room or something. He gets called to the manager's office and is told, hey, you're going to the big leagues. So it's his first call up in his career. And they say there's an Uber that's going to arrive here at the ballpark in 1 hour. So he has to clear out his locker at the ballpark. Then he has to go back to the hotel, get all his stuff out of the hotel, get back to the ballpark, get there in an hour, drove from Indianapolis to St. Louis, and he arrived in like the sixth or seventh inning. that was available.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's lots of stories like that. I wish I knew more of them, where people get called up at the last minute and they've got to go places. But, you know, how exciting would that be? You're just hanging out in the weight room and then all of a sudden, good news and bad news.
Yeah.
Wow, that would be fun to do.
He said that he spent the drive calling family members, specifically his dad, and just talking about the tears that were shared between the two because of how much was put in. And he did a nice job in spring. And what's interesting is he might have a long-term role with this team because you can't take Ivan Herrera out of the lineup. He is mashing right now.
He really is.
He had another home run today. Yeah. Wilson Contreras obviously is a big part of the lineup, especially when you're struggling scoring runs. Both those guys have to be in the lineup. If Herrera and Contreras are going to be in the lineup a lot on the same day, you have to have a third catcher on the roster.
Right. So under that circumstance, then I'm guessing that Herrera would be DHing. Or Contreras, or I think flip them back and forth
probably.
Okay.
And, you know, right now it's more Herrera because as of 2 days ago, Contreras could still not close the glove hand. Mm. He could grip a bat, but right. if he's got his catcher's mitt on and the pitch comes in, he cannot grip to catch the pitch.
That's kind of important for a catcher.
Minor detail.
Right.
So when I heard that, I'm going, but this guy's like, What if the bat goes off the ball goes off the bat funky? You know, we've all had that feeling like where you take a funky swing and it kind of resonates through your whole body.
Oh, sure.
Like
right.
You don't want that happening to him, but so far everything has been okay. About a minute left. What do you have on your program tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about some finances. We're going to look at interest rates and what the stock market's going to be doing. We're also going to be breaking down the fact that the Ethan Crumbly, the shooter who shot and murdered four students in Michigan. His parents were sentenced this week, and we're going to break that down as well. And
do you think
other
that's?
News
can I pause you real quick? Sure. Because like 20 seconds. But do you think that's going to scare parents? Like, does that actually deter anybody in the future?
I don't see it being any of a deterrence. It's just another way to prosecute parents.
But the judge said they hope that this deters parents moving forward.
Not going to happen. And I'm not sure these convictions are going to stand on appeal.
Okay. It's a really interesting thing and unfortunately comes out of a absolute tragedy. Brad Young's in next for At Your Service. I've got you tomorrow for another 2-hour edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Thanks for being tuned in. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on KMOX.